Welcome to the sixth episode of our UCM in Conversation with podcast, where I am joined by Nisha Chavda and Priya Rai Fafa, the creators of Brown Girls Empowering. Hi, Nisha and Priya.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Andrew.
How are you both?
Good, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, very early, but it's good.
Good stuff. So Brown Girls Empowering, let's kick this off. What is it?
So it's essentially an Instagram page that gives tips with regards to navigating careers in the property and construction industry.
Okay. And why did you start it? And I also wanted to know, how do you know each other as well?
Okay, I'm leading this one. We started because, so we know each other from being on the RICS Matrix Committee for Leicestershire and Rutland. And we did various roles on the committee, and we stayed in touch. We became really good friends. And then earlier this year, Priya was hosting or setting up a webinar for students at Henley Business School and asked me to speak. And after that, we got talking and we were like, you know, we kind of have this idea. What do you think? And then we kind of both had the same idea. So we wanted, basically what we wanted to do is to share some advice for finishing uni and starting out work and just letting other people know some things that we'd wish we'd known. Like I remember when, we, you know, we've had this, me and Priya have had this conversation so many times where, you know, when I was at university, I remember feeling so lost and not knowing who to turn to for information and advice on just even things like exams, assignments, you know, the kind of admin side of things, and even what to do when I'd finished. You know, how do you go around looking for a job? I didn't really feel connected to my industry.
I sort of felt the same throughout school as well, that I felt that this industry isn't sort of highly recognized and the information isn't available, so people can't really make an informed decision whilst they're sort of navigating through school and university about the options available to them. So that's pretty much sort of what we wanted to make available and share information and knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, currently you're on Instagram, like you say, which is where I became aware of Brown Girls Empowering after you tagged us in a post. And, you know, I was, you know, pretty impressed with the graphics. You know, it all looks really good. And exactly how you've described there, it's full of lots of useful information about either job seeking or the skills which you need to make your sort of stamp in the world of the built environment. So I just wonder, obviously, it's the Instagram page you have right now, but do you have plans to use other mediums other than Instagram, whether it's websites or are you just content with using Instagram? And thirdly, why did you choose Instagram?
So at the moment, we're pretty happy with Instagram itself, because as we're still quite early on and we've just recently set it up. So we're just mainly focusing on putting out genuine advice and content. And this seems to be sort of manageable for both of us, because we lead quite sort of hectic lives and we do have to manage full-time jobs.
Mm.
Yeah, I think also, like, we kind of have this standpoint that if genuine conversation grows from our post, then we'd be happy to look at a podcast or something bigger than something that's a little bit longer than an Instagram post, where we can share more sort of stories from our experiences and advice, and maybe even bring like other people, our industry contacts in as well, and give different perspectives, because we're obviously only giving a perspective from our own standpoint. So yeah, I think that's kind of something we'd maybe look into moving forward. But if it's necessary, we wouldn't want to just do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, no, that definitely sounds sensible. And yeah, I think podcasts are great mediums personally. So yeah, this is, you know, you're getting your experience in now, obviously doing this, and then maybe that could be something which certainly it's a way of going into further detail. And, you know, because obviously at the moment you sort of do those kind of stories about particular themes, and there could be about six or seven different graphics with information on. And like I say, it looks really good. It's very sort of, you know, pretty in terms of how it's made. The graphics are really good. And obviously Instagram, it's nice that it's visually appealing in that sense. So with Instagram, presumably, was that based on the audience you were trying to attract?
Yeah, I think it was like the way people consume information now is even the news and everything. It's more like Twitter and Instagram, I think. For us, Twitter wouldn't work because of the word count. And with Instagram, like you say, and thank you for the compliment. That means a lot, because obviously we do want to hit a certain type of a level of, I wouldn't say professionalism, but, you know, a certain standard. And so it's really good to hear that feedback. But yeah, I think it's just, the way our target audience, probably university leavers, consume media at the moment, it's mainly Instagram. And then, like you say, to do like a quick 5 or 6 scroll, like slide post where people can just scroll through and consume like the bullet points fairly quickly, I think that kind of suited us a little bit more. And then we expand more on those points in the actual like comment bit. Mm. So if people have got a bit of time or they want to just read into a little bit more, they've got that there as well. So we kind of try to hit both preferences.
Yeah. I think people use Instagram in different ways, and everybody or majority of people do have Instagram, and they will be checking it at some point throughout the day. And it's not just about social content, following friends, celebrities, etc. There is a lot of other accounts on there, like ours, with actual important causes and things where people do follow them. And it's a good way of just reaching out to the wider community that we probably wouldn't reach in other mediums.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I do think, you know, as you kind of alluded to there, there tends to be an idea that Instagram is for celebrity content. And certainly there's no getting away from that. But, you know, it does stand out in that sense. And I think you've only just started, is it a few months started with this, or how long is it?
I think since January.
Yeah,
like in January. Yeah,
yeah. So
back end of last year. Yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that there are already, I think it's something like 300 odd followers you've already got, so you know, as you've identified, there is a market for that, and something which is different and inspiring for people as well. And that it's not all Kylie Jenner on the beach or whatever it might be, which many people associate Instagram with.
I don't think we have 300, just in case anyone goes and checks. I think it's like 140. I think you've been very kind there.
Oh, sorry.
Hopefully, by the time this goes out, we will have 300.
Oh, right, sorry. It's did you say over 100, was that?
Yeah, about 140.
140, sorry, yeah. But, well, yeah. still, it's a good amount. I might have been reading the other way around, the amount you were following.
I think so, yeah. However, yeah, it's good to have a target and a thing, so yeah.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, hopefully through this as well, more people will want to, you know, follow your account and see it grow as well. And yes,
for sure.
Can be a good thing for the built environment that there's more interest as well. And on that point, I mean, what do you hope to achieve with Brown Girls Empowering?
I think, like, just following on from what we spoke about before, I think it's just to make sure people don't feel the same way we did.
Mm.
You know, you had, like, I think I mentioned that I felt a bit lost at university. Priya said she felt the same, like, in high school. And you know, we just want to give, and the way we wanted to make this different is that, and we wanted to provide something that we would have actually helped us back in when we were going through it. And it kind of goes, we try to go a little bit beyond a motivational quote or you know, quite a general statement, which they can be helpful in themselves, but when we were going through it, we would have liked, very, you know, we tried to give advice on navigating very specific things that occur when you start working that no one really tells you about. So some of our posts are around how to have difficult conversations, but we go into actual examples of how to navigate the conversations with what kind of wording to use, or, you know, how to set up your mind before you go into the conversation and to have an end goal, and how to create that focus rather than just saying, you know, be open. We say why you should be open and what that helps you achieve. Things like that. A lot of these stuff, things as well, is, you know, you have to learn through doing, But if we can provide some genuine tips to make someone feel more confident in even just heading into that situation, then that's really the main goal. We just want it to be a platform for genuine and practical tips rather than generic and like sort of wide cast statements.
Yeah.
And I think we just want to, we've also, Nisha and I have both found going through school and university and even just generally our careers at the moment, that there is still a stigma around in this industry associated to females. And by doing this, we want to sort of show that, you know, it shouldn't be there and it is open for all. And you shouldn't be deterred away from it just from your gender. And some people just genuinely, because they don't know, they just feel scared of entering into the industry. But by us doing this, hopefully, we can change some minds and reach out to people and introduce them to this sector that they wouldn't usually be introduced to.
Yeah, and you know, as you say, it's specific advice and also specific focus in terms of the audience. So you've got, you know, wanted to ask who in particular the initiative was for, because I was thinking their sort of demographics, you're probably, my understanding looking at it is that it would be that maybe late school leavers to sort of those entering the profession. And then just the second question on that is, why did you decide to focus on South Asian women as well? So that's linked to the name with Brown Girls Empowering. And then reading in the bio, you were saying that, you know, that it's your experiences as South Asian women yourself that you wanted to inspire others to look at the industry in a different light. So, I suppose in a sense that with the second question there, you've probably already run through that in the way that you had this experience when you were studying and looking to move into the industry and you're wanting to help others in a similar position. But if there's anything else you would like to sort of add to that and, you know, in terms of the audience who you're looking to attract, that would be great.
I think you've hit on the nail on the head there. Our focus is on students who are in sort of final years of university, you know, trying to figure out their next steps after life after university. So, you know, where do they look for jobs? How do they look for jobs? Who should they be speaking to? And yeah, again, with the South Asian thing, I think one of the things we want, the reason why I wanted to target university students and sort of people entering their first sort of year in work or whatever, is because I can't speak for Priya, but I didn't know like who to go to or who to talk to. For example, I didn't know how powerful networking was. You were never taught about, you know, like how to build relationships in a professional sense, in industry, or the fact that construction is actually quite, and even property, quite heavily reliant on relationships. And that's kind of why we wanted to kind of focus on those students, because if we can equip them or let them know ahead of time, these are the kind of things you should be doing. If you can try and touch base with this person in this kind of position in this firm, if you're looking to do that kind of job, that will get you in, or that will give you some more information to help you make a more informed decision. Or, you know, you do know there are alternative routes. If you're feeling a bit worried about entering the world of work straight away, there are alternative routes to still get to where you want, but potentially in a way that suits you a little better. And there are so many things that you can do in construction that you just aren't aware about, because like Priya said, you don't get taught about these things in high school or anything. You don't think you really know about construction really throughout high school is engineering, architect, and builders. That's pretty much it. And I'm simplifying it obviously, but you know, there's apprenticeships, there's internships, there's so many other things you can do. And I think it is really just for people like that, you know, just kind of give them a bit more of an insight.
Yeah, I mean, as I was a sort of went on to university to study and things, I didn't actually study in the industry initially, but this industry was never spoken about at all throughout my school life, or even whilst I was at university. It's not something that's common, and it's something that I've had to figure out for myself mainly, and try and reach out to other people that I think might be able to assist me. And it's just really giving back and helping others so they don't have to really do the same that we've had to do. And, you know, our content is not just going to be heavily focused on property and construction, although that is our main focus. But there are a lot of things that are transferable between different industries. So, you know, it's for anyone really that feels that they can use our content to help them, but with a sort of main focus of our industry of property and construction.
Hmm. And you've hit upon two really sort of key points there. I think there's the one which is the built environment and the professions within the built environment don't tend to ever really be discussed in great detail at schools. It can be quite a, you tend to think of accountancy perhaps as a similar type profession which everyone tends to know about, but they wouldn't potentially know about being a construction manager or a property manager or something like this in more detail. So I think that's a really important part. And also, you know, when discussing the audience there, you're saying about, you know, maybe being final year of university or that kind of thing. And I think it's a very common experience that if you've gone to a university, you don't really know what you're going to do next. And you know, a lot of people do tend to take courses which are ones they would enjoy doing for an amount of time, but they're not always vocational. And yeah, understanding those next moves can be a bit of a maze and quite a disconcerting time for a lot of people. So certainly, I think, you know, as you're discussing there with the content which you got, certainly, you know, the ones which have gone out so far tend to be quite open ended, and about going into any profession and careers and just good practical advice for job seekers. So moving forward and, you know, wondering with the construction property, whether that's going to come further down the line on the roadmap. But what content do you have in the pipeline?
We've got quite a few topics sort of lined up. We are sort of focusing on property and construction, but there are some topics which I think are really important in both these sectors, and which will also apply to any other sector. And one that we're sort of working on at the moment is imposter syndrome, which we think is very important at the moment because it's not commonly known to people, although majority of people do go through it at some stage or, you know, are always going through it. And there's also a lot of sort of HR-related topics that I found I had to figure out for myself, which, you know, certainly I'd like to share and Nisha the same. And there will be sort of more focus on property and construction in some of our posts. But a lot of the advice is sort of general and generic, which, like I said before, you know, it can be used for different sectors and people can take it as they wish. It doesn't just have to be related to the industry we're in.
Yeah, and I think we were speaking about it earlier, and the advice is pointed, it's specific to certain situations and actually what you should be doing or lining up to tackle those situations. But again, yeah, it does apply to lots of different general industries. However, one thing we do want to highlight as well through our account is the different routes as well. So not only how to handle stuff when you get there, but then what are the different routes to even get there? And it's National Apprenticeship Week this week as well.
Hmm.
And so, you know, that promotes sort of working and learning as well. And that's obviously something Priya and I did. And even the, you know, part-time studying or doing an online degree or part-time distance learning degree, things like that we do want to go into because it's just really about highlighting the options that people have, that if we had known about them earlier, maybe we would have got into what we were doing now a lot earlier. I know I would have. So it's just about, yeah, helping people know about what's actually out there, because unless you start digging or unless you have to, you're stuck and you really need to, or somebody else tells you about it, happens to tell you about it, you really wouldn't know. And you just think, you know, imagine the amount of people out there that would like to do certain things, but just don't because they don't know it's for them or they don't know they can, or they think they've got the wrong foundation degree or whatever it is. It's just, you know, kind of like get some more of that information out as well. So, and obviously then we will respond to what people want as well. We won't just dictate this is what our page will think. If people want certain things, you know, or they want us to highlight a certain way of getting into construction management or contracts management or I don't know, whatever it is, we can go into that. And then the benefit here is that we can pull in our industry peers. So if there's someone that wants something to do with real estate management, one of Priya's colleagues has done a degree in that as well. And so, you know, you can, from different, and we can get people with different perspectives, not just our own. And going back to the Asian thing or South Asian thing, you know, the reason why we wanted to focus it on, why we called it Brown Girls Empowering, is because there's a lack of people that look like us in the industry, in our industry anyway. And even through speaking to university colleagues, and now that we've graduated many, many years ago, but we didn't realise that we were coming at education from a completely different standpoint. You know, our family backgrounds were different. The things we were taught about what education should be or shouldn't be was completely different to our peers when we got to university and things like that. And you don't realise sometimes some of the other pressures that you have that are unique to being South Asian. And not to say other cultures don't, obviously they do, but we can't speak for those because we don't have first-hand experience for it. Mm. So we kind of just wanted to kind of angle it towards. So some of our other future posts will be about managing, you know, family expectations. And I think Priya mentioned it earlier that, you know, this isn't just, our industry isn't spoken about in university, but in high school, but our industry isn't really spoken about in our households either. So, you know, you've spoken to a lot about medicine or accountancy, things like that, but you don't really get told about construction or what if you want to be a site manager, or what if you want to be a project manager or a program manager or even a real estate manager or property developer. That kind of thing doesn't get spoken about, so that's kind of what we want to go forward with. I think I've gone off on a tangent here.
No, I think that's really great, because you know we're sort of this first part of the podcast is you know, looking specifically at Brown Girls Empowering and your Instagram page, and I think that's a really lovely way to sort of, you know, bring it round to everything which you're wanting to do with it, and you know, as you say, it's authentic, basically is what's coming across, because you're just saying this is the experiences you've both had, and therefore you're, you know, because you're sort of progressing with your career, but you've experienced things which you feel would be good advice when you were at a stage where you were making decisions and looking into your careers and stuff. I think it's such a good thing to be doing, to be giving back in this way, and I do hope that you know, the follower count rises up. Who knows, by the end of this it could be on the 300 I'd mistakenly said earlier.
And hopefully you set up the highest challenge.
Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully it does, because it, you know, that's the thing. It's really good advice, and particularly, you know, for those people who are, you know, in similar situations or they've grown up in a South Asian household, and you know, as you've mentioned there, from your experience, it was mainly medicine and accountancy, you were saying. So, to offer a different perspective, that the built environment offers great opportunities, and there's good pathways here. In general, that's a good thing as well. And yeah, I think I like, you know, I really like the idea of this sort of inspiring account, which is sort of banging the drum for making the best of your career and ideally perhaps in property and construction. So yeah, I really do wish you the very best of luck with it. And yeah, it's great to hear about, and like I say, really happy to have this opportunity to discuss in detail more about you know, Brown Girls Empowering. But you know, you say it's very personal, and so the sort of the next section is questions about yourselves, basically, because when you followed us, I think there was a message sent on Instagram or something like that saying, oh, would you like to follow or something like this, and then I sort of got chatting because I was wondering how you obviously had heard of us and why you were following us as well, and then Nisha, I suppose it would have been you who responded, because you said that you'd you were an alumna of UCEM. So that particularly piqued my interest, because we're always very, very happy to hear that our students and alumni are sort of, you know, carrying out initiatives and being sort of, you know, vocal and positive about the industry. So looking via LinkedIn, I see that you graduated from our MSc Construction Management programme last year. And Priya, you graduated from the University of Reading, just down the road from us, from their MSc in Real Estate with Investment Finance. So just wanted to ask a few questions about yourself. So we've got two different ways of gaining an MSc there. With Nisha, you're studying online with us. And Priya, it would have been experiencing blended learning through Reading's Henley Business School. So Nisha first, I mean, how did you find studying with us?
I found it very convenient. Communication from the school was great. I found every time I ever rung in, there's always a friendly voice at the end to help sort out any queries. It fitted in around my work because I was working full-time really well. So I had a generally quite a positive experience. Highly recommend it.
We always like to hear that. And Priya, how did you find your studies at Henley Business School?
It was great. It was very flexible. The name in the course, it was a flexible master's. The reason why I chose it was because I'd get a little bit of contact time per module, and the remainder was via distance learning, so sort of going off and doing it yourself. So I felt like I had the best of both worlds in that sense, still able to sort of make some contact with the university, but still able to manage a full-time job with doing this.
And that's the similarity between what you were both doing there, that it was whilst you were working full-time. But obviously it was quite a different format of learning. So how would you compare your two learning experiences?
Well, predominantly mine pretty much ended up being quite self-taught, which was actually quite a learning curve for me, because it's sort of made me an independent learner, I guess, which is sort of good experience for completing the APC that I'm doing at the moment, that is quite independent. But I think Anisha had slightly different experience, I believe, with hers.
Mine was completely online. So we didn't need to go in at all. And all our modules, when webinars and assignments and everything, was delivered online.
Yeah. Yes, which we know well. So that's obviously, you know, how we deliver our programmes, basically. And it's obviously at the moment that's been very handy, I suppose, that we have been doing this for a few years. And hopefully it's not too long till we're back to some sort of normality in the wider world. But just to finish on the studying which you both done, I mean, what would you recommend to those newly joining the sector about their study options?
That there's plenty of them. I think they have to really look at what suits them in terms of how they work, because I think I may have benefited from a blended style also. However, the completely online learning suited my timetable better. But I think, as Priya mentioned, it helped me learn to become more self-motivated. But I think, and that was the biggest challenge for me, as I'm sure it is for most people. So I think I'd say, you know, first find out what your learning style is, and don't be restricted to thinking you just have to do full-time degree, if you know, to move forward, or postgrad or anything like that, or even a undergrad. If you can find a job that you want to do, and you can always do your degree online, and there's lots of support out there to do that from employers. And even if not, you can self-fund it, but you can manage it around working. You don't have to put your whole life on hold and go and study if you don't want to. I think people don't realize that that's quite readily available, especially in this industry.
Yeah,
I think they just need to realize that there's lots of options out there, and you just have to go and find what's best for you at that time, or works well in your circumstances, because there are many options out there. We've just found what worked for us, but that's just two options. There are other things out there as well.
I think I'd definitely look into part-time learning, and what I would do is approach any, I'd advise that they approach any potential employer when negotiating offers for employment if part-time learning can be supported within the role and what they have, because if you ask, you'll be surprised at what they will accommodate, and you'll get something that suits you and gets your foot in the door for the place of work.
Great. And I think just from a bit of what you're saying there, it almost sort of springs up new ideas for some of the posts you might want to be doing. I mean, there was Priya, you're saying you're doing your APC right now, and that's, you know, I mean, probably further down the line, but a really sort of big thing to be doing. I mean, that's ultimately what people coming into the sector want to be doing, is becoming chartered. So yeah, advice about that would be great. And then Nisha, you were saying there about self-motivation, which is quite rightly is huge when you're studying online, really. So tips on that could be quite good as well. But like you say, it's whatever suits you. And also you can get support from your companies as well. You know, there's options for sponsoring students with companies, and obviously apprenticeships as well, which you quite rightly pointed out earlier as well. It's National Apprenticeship Week this week. So another great option for businesses and potential students as well to work and learn at the same time. So just looking at what you're up to now, Nisha, you're a project manager for Pick Everard. Having previously worked in architectural roles following the completion of your undergraduate architecture degree. So tell me about your current role. What do you enjoy about it?
For me, in project management, I love the variety. I think I found when I was initially doing some architectural roles, I can get quite frustrated doing repetitive tasks. And so the move into project management suits me really well, because so cliche, but literally no day is the same, and anything can get thrown at you at any time of the day, and you have to just deal with it. And if you're working in a team or with at least one other project manager, it can be quite fun, because you then all just have to buckle down and say, well, how are we going to deal with this? You know, we didn't see this coming. And it's not just on-site stuff, it's legal stuff sometimes, and it's most of the time anyway, it's legal stuff, because it's a lot of contracts administration and things like that. So it's quite fun. I enjoy it also the way I've seen myself growing confidence too, and then I'm happy that I'm able to say that now, because I've not always been so confident or recognised my own achievements or progress. I don't really think it's about achievements. I think more for me, it's about progress. You know, things that I wasn't so good at, and seeing myself developing in a way that is. And I think project management lends itself quite well to being able to apply knowledge. And so you can actually see when you're like, oh, I'm getting better at this. And I used to have to ask for help with this, and now I can just administer this on my own or issue this on my own or whatever. I think that kind of stuff is it gives you quite a good buzz when stuff like that happens. So yeah, but mainly it's the variety, the fact that you can do many different things in the same day.
Fantastic. And moving forward, it's great there that, like you say, you've got the variety, which you enjoy, but also your confidence is really sort of built up in project management. So what are your career ambitions in future?
For me, I think I'd like to go into I think this is also going to sound a bit cliche, but I'd like to go into developing my own properties, and then not so cliche, I'd like to get back into the creative side of things. That I really do miss. I do have a great love and respect for architecture, and the only reason why I moved away from it is because I found drawing on the computer like all day used to make me very anxious, because you're just clicking like all day. It just doesn't suit me. I can't sit in one spot like that. But I do miss the creative element, so I'd like to get back into that, maybe through interior design or something like that in the future.
Great stuff. And Priya, you're a manager at Priya Properties. So is this your own company which you've set up?
No, actually, it was actually set up by my father 35 years ago. It'd be a dream if I had something set up to this extent by now.
Yeah. Okay, what does your role involve? How do you find working at Priya Properties?
Well, it's a family led company, so it's very different to maybe a lot of other people's jobs. My role is very diverse. One day it could be doing managerial tasks, some operational tasks. Another day it might have to be, you know, just doing the bare basics that need to be done and viewing properties and things. It really does vary. But I mean, at the moment, we're all working from home, so things have changed a lot. But predominantly, you know, my brother runs sort of the back sort of end of the business, and I run the front end, so ensuring employees and things are sort of well equipped and making sure that it's basically just managing the employees and getting that side running.
And your undergraduate degree was in physics, so I just wanted to know, why did you decide to specialise in real estate?
So with my father obviously running the company, I've always been exposed to real estate through some form from when I was a child. You know, I had a part-time job there throughout school and university. But it was only really after I graduated that I was really drawn into the industry. And I found something that actually I really enjoyed and just wanted to go into it further. And that's when sort of I decided, you know, this is a career that I'm going to make from it. And that's when I looked into further options.
What is it you enjoy working in the built environment?
I mean, we find that sort of a lot of the skill sets are transferable between the two. And, you know, we've just actually just done a post on this at the moment, that anything you do in this sort of sector is very transferable to something else. And it's not sort of you don't have to have a specific skill set to come into this industry. I think it's quite varied and it's easy for people to enter into.
Yeah, I think the post that Priya was just talking about, she led, and I think through discussion she found that, and that this is what I found really interesting, that people generally go through three careers in their lifetime. And I think that just supports our own experiences of this industry, where, like, you know, I went from architecture to project management, and there's just so many routes to get to where you want, but not everyone always knows about them, like you said.
And as you said before, the variety as well, personally, that's what you enjoy. So plenty of different options within the built environment. And on that, I mean, Nisha, you work in construction and Priya in real estate. So do you feel the skill sets are transferable between the two? And would you consider switching to the other industry?
I think that does link into your previous question, the answer for your previous question quite well. And in that, I think that's one of the things we enjoy about it. Well, that's one of the things I enjoy about it, the fact that I know through what I've learned here, like in terms of even managing people, personalities, being able to learning how to network, be confident in how to speak to people, you know, managing clients, managing expectations, but then managing the technical team, things like that. Is what I really enjoy about it, because, yeah, like you said, it's the variety of all of those things. But then also I know I can go off and, you know, I said I want, in the future, I wanted to maybe go back into the creative element. I can do that pretty seamlessly because of the things I've learned. So I think that's the kind of thing that I really enjoy about this industry, is that the stuff you learn is not just specific to how to build a building. It's completely transferable. And I think that between property and construction, they're very transferable as well. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same as well. I mean, we don't get involved in construction in the same way Nisha does in her job role, but to an extent, we do have construction as well. And it's actually, it's so varied, and there's so much that, you know, you can transfer between the two. And it's mainly just, like Nisha said, management, and there's just key skills that, if you have, you know, you'll find in both sort of industries.
The main one is people management. I think learning how to deal with people, how to, and this can be taken badly, but it isn't in industry, but it's how to influence people as well, you know, how to dissolve a situation. I mean, I think in property, you're dealing with two sets of people who are opposite, who want, you're trying to do transactions with each other, and they might have different goals, and they've got opposing, they're coming at a sale very defensively, for example, or whatever it is. You've got to manage both parties and make sure that it actually happens without something falling apart. And that, similar with me, client management and then construction management. So you've got the build team on one side and the client on the other side. And you're trying to make everyone work collaboratively, and even though they might have different goals and financial goals and things like that, that is extremely transferable. I think it's very important to both sides. So the people management, I think, is the main one, really, that's transferable. Communication skills as well.
Yeah, definitely communication skills. And as you say, the people management is a very big part of construction management, project management, all those kinds of pathways within the sector. And within the sector, do you feel it's an inclusive environment for new employees?
By new employees, do you mean juniors or...?
So anyone entering into the built environment for the first time?
I think it can be. I think it depends on the people you work with, as it is probably for every sector. What I found personally on my side, on the construction side, is if you are willing, because of the nature of the kind of older generation that work within construction, they're typically ones who have come up through the ranks. So if you come in and you're willing to learn, you're hardworking, and you ask a lot of questions because you genuinely want to learn, people will help you, and they will go out of their way to make sure you understand and to see you do well. So I think it is. I think you've got to come with a good attitude, though. And I think that applies for a lot of industries.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nisha's covered that quite well. I mean, we employ a lot of people that have no experience in this sector at all. And actually, we find that that's a good thing. Because, you know, they're learning things for the first time with you, and they're there because they actually want to learn and want to be there, rather than, you know, sort of other people that may have come from the industry, from a different employer. You know, that's just generally our preference. But yeah, I think it is pretty inclusive for everyone that is entering into the industry.
And that's kind of why we want to hit on some of those topics in our posts, because it's like, if we can help equip graduates or even someone who's switching industries into construction with some things that they can arm themselves with that will help them just get onto a better footing, then why not? And that's kind of what we want to do as well. And, you know, just make sure they're prepared and to build up that good attitude and come into it with the right viewpoint.
And earlier, you touched upon how the built environment is not really a popular option for South Asian women. So I just wanted on that point, you know, why do you think that is?
I mean, yes, you're right. We don't think it is popular at the moment. I think it's seen as a very male dominated area. And it just seems like a very sort of cold type of sector. And I think that's why women are sort of not so drawn to it, especially South Asian women. And I mean, you can compare that to some other industries as well that are quite heavily male dominated. I mean, the finance industry is now becoming, there is a bit more equality, but it's, you know, the property and construction sector is still sort of lagging behind that at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree. And my dissertation was based, for my master's was based on the uptake of skilled labour, or the lack thereof. And when I was interviewing high school students, and it wasn't just South Asian high school students or even just females, it was anyone at that age range. The majority of the feedback I got was that construction is for, I asked, you know, have you had any experience of the built environment or skilled labour, or is anyone in your family? And most of them said no. Even the ones that said yes, I said, what is your view, or what do you think it's got good, like, what's your view on the reputation of construction or skilled labour? And it was always negative. It's they thought it was for people who couldn't do other professional jobs. It just had very negative, I don't want to go into it, but a very negative connotation. And I think that is something to do with the image of construction, like Priya says. It's like, it seems as male-dominated, cold. I think that's just from, and most of what I found was most people's, or most high school students' experience of the construction industry was through walking past construction sites.
Yeah.
Because as we said, they don't talk about it in school. I mean, I went to an all-girls school, so they definitely weren't talking about skilled labour or construction management there, which it, there should be no reason why they shouldn't, or even architecture. And so it is a lot, I think, to do with the image of construction, the way construction portrays itself. But then you do have now considerate contractors. So, you know, they're trying to make their sites more presentable. They're stopping labourers and even other professional staff from smoking outside, hanging around in groups, and things like that is going a long way to change people's perception of having construction going on in their town or in where they live and near their schools and everything. But it's especially with the South Asian community, a lot of the generation of before of us went into jobs, office-based jobs. So that's all they know. And so they're always going to perpetuate those kind of roles or even more professional roles to our generation and below, because that's all they know. So I think going into construction as a South Asian person or even in a skilled labour or anything like that is quite left field. And so it's just not been done before. That's pretty much, I think, why. Mm. Or it's associated with family businesses. So if you do have a construction-based job in a family, it's because it's a family business, and the whole family is absorbed in it, if you know what I mean. So the kids will help out and all that kind of stuff.
I think Nisha's absolutely correct there. I mean, I don't think I would have had the exposure that I do now unless it was through my family. Construction was never mentioned at all throughout school, university, and the only time I've been exposed to it is through any construction work we've had to do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a sector that I don't even think I'd feel comfortable going into it, because it's never been done type of thing. And that's what we want to change. It shouldn't be like that.
No, I mean, you've hit upon a truism that you kind of, when it comes to careers and things like that, you go with what you know. And obviously, if we're not getting that message, certainly at maybe school or even university level, about what careers you can have within construction and property industries, then it's not likely that you're going to go into them. So I think, leads nicely into the next one, where next question, which is about, you know, what more do you think can be done to inspire non-traditional talent into the sector? I mean, obviously, your Instagram page, that's really proactive and a good way of sort of promoting the sector. Is there anything else which you think could be done?
Yeah, I mean, I think, we've said key is to sharing knowledge, but I think it's also then being able to go into schools and show girls and boys, it doesn't just have to be girls, but that this is an inclusive sort of sector and it is something that it is an option for them should they wish to pursue it, or just even telling them about the industry and teaching them something that they didn't know. It's just education, I think. It's teaching people. I think key.
From the results from my dissertation as well, I think that was, that's exactly what came out of it, is that, you know, it's just lack of knowledge. It's that's the only way you're going to change perception, is if people base their perceptions on something that they see they don't actually know. And so, yeah, if you walk past a construction site and there's a gang of 6 or 7 men standing outside, burly men, you know, in these big clunky PPE, it means safety wear, but it, you know, to a child or to a high school student, just looks like massive boots and then, you know, quite intimidating. And or quite, you know, quite, it's not very sleek or what you'd associate in your mind with what you see on TV with being professional. But you know, that could be 6 or 7 engineers standing outside and they're all very, very educated, or, you know, some skilled labourers who are specialists in their field, you know, like highly skilled carpenters or high, you know, welders and things like that. People don't understand the kind of work and the skill that goes into those kind of professions. And I think, just swinging back to the South Asian thing, I think the reason why I wanted to angle it for people like us, or people that come from homes like us, is purely because, you know, we don't have that exposure to it before, because a lot of families haven't really ever been in construction. And so when we entered university or the industry, we were amongst a lot of other peers who had dads who were architects. So I had that experience. Most of the people on my course were there because they had a parent who was an architect or an uncle, or they had, they had lots of strong links into construction. That's why they knew about architecture. And I was going into it completely cold. No one I knew had ever done architecture before. And so I was just sort of there, completely fresh, no other information, whereas these guys had grown up seeing it. And so they had that kind of advantage, which is not an unfair advantage. It's, same as if I was to become a doctor. I mean, I have loads of people in my family. So it's that kind of thing. And this is why I think it's important just to make sure that we do raise, kind of highlight the fact that this industry exists. It's got all of these roots, it's got all of these perks. And, this is kind of something you can get into. And I think that's what needs to be. I think it's really important that we educate people because it's such a big sector in our economy as well. So it's important. It's kind of crazy that they don't talk about it in school beforehand, or kind of gear a lesson towards it or something like that.
I mean, that's a great point. It is, I think, in the top 10 sectors, construction is I think in the top 5 within the UK, and real estate not too far off. So it's kind of a dichotomy that you've got that, but also, at school level, it doesn't really get talked about, and the sort of many options which are available within the built environment don't get offered up as potential routes. It tends to be, more, do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to be, a firefighter maybe even? So yeah, it's education is a very big part of that, and hopefully the more initiatives like your own and like anything we can do to promote the sector will just widen that knowledge, and then hopefully entice more people to make a great career from it. Thank you for your time today. Just before you go, something we usually do to end our podcast is just a quick fire questions. So, first off, judging by your LinkedIn profiles and the work you're doing with Brown Girls Empowering, and then clearly from our discussion today, you both lead very busy lives. So, what advice would you give to others about time management?
This is really odd, but I heard a chat show host once say that the reason why he's able to work on loads of different projects at once is because he knows in a day he has X amount of time scheduled for each one. And so whenever he's doing any one thing, he knows he's got that 1 hour or so to for that, carved out that thing. So for that time, he only focuses on that. He just does it fully, 100%. He doesn't worry about the next thing. He doesn't worry about the thing he was doing before. He just does that one thing and then moves on to the next one. And that's the only way he's able to fit in and focus on loads of different things at once. And I just think that's helped me to try not to flit between too many different things at once, just to, when you're doing something, carve out the time and then just focus.
Yeah, and funnily enough, that's actually something I've started doing whilst working from home. So I think time management is really important, and it's something that you should develop quite early on, because it's the only way that you can sort of juggle all the tasks and manage a work-life balance as well, which is essential.
Yep, plan and then stick to the plan. That sounds like good advice with time management. So we're recording this during obviously our third lockdown in this country. So can you tell me what TV programme or podcast you've been enjoying during this lockdown?
So I've been quite addicted to Netflix, anything that you can binge watch. I've actually just finished watching Bridgerton, which was very intriguing.
I think for me, I've been addicted to podcasts because I used to listen to them on my commute, so I've kind of carried that on. But I love Table Manners with Jessie Ware. Another really funny one I'd recommend, even though I don't have children, is Rob Beckett and Josh Whitaker's Parenting Lockdown Hell.
Yeah.
I find them two pretty good duo. And I really recently started Out to Lunch with Jay Rayner, who's a food critic, which I find really interesting. So yeah, those three.
Great stuff. Yeah, no, Bridgerton I think has swept the country, and Table Manners is another really really popular one, and I think there's a real niche for these sort of food and funny podcasts, aren't there? So Off Menu I think is another one which which is in that sort of sphere. And yeah, Jessie Ware and her mum are very good on that podcast. So, and just more generally, what else has got you through lockdown?
I think just generally having, you know, I found that we've got a really good sort of support network where I am, whether that's family, friends, or, and even work colleagues, because it has been challenging for everybody, and it is sort of new times. But I think it's just that everyone has been supporting each other, which it may not be so visible in the past. But also coming up with Brown Girls Empowering, that, you know, that's given us something to look forward to, and something good has come out of this sort of lockdown situation, because I don't think we would have the time to even put towards it if we weren't in lockdown.
No, I totally agree. I think creating the Instagram page has been great, because it's I think everyone at this moment has got a lot of pent-up energy, stuff they were going to do, or things they want to, you know, they still want to do. And so being able to channel that, some of that energy, something I've been wanting to do for a long time, something Priya has been wanting to do for a long time, which is why when we both started, when she mentioned it to me, I was like, I also want to do something too. And then we said, oh, we'll talk later. And I was like, this is what I want to do. She's like, that's exactly what I was going to say. It just kind of, we just like set by and we're like, right, let's do this. That kind of has helped quite a lot, because it's like, it feels like we're achieving something we've been wanting to do for a while.
No, that's great. And yeah, congratulations on doing that, because you know, I think it was one of those things when, certainly with the first lockdown anyway, where it was, oh, suddenly we have the time to do, you know, learn a language or do all these things. And I think probably most of us have sort of thought, oh yeah, I could do this thing, but you know, with Netflix and other things going on, we maybe haven't achieved the things we thought we would during lockdown. So the fact you've actually done what you thought you would like to do, and you know, it's obviously sort of, it's flourishing as well, is a great achievement. So, and I'm glad that's you know, also helped with the lockdown as well. I think anything which does has got to be done to make the best of our situation at the moment. And you mentioned earlier that you'd met it was an RICS group in Leicestershire, and I saw from your LinkedIn profiles that you both spent time living in Leicester. I think Priya, are you there now? Are you in Leicester or?
Yes, so I'm currently, I am based in Leicester, yes, and Anisha's in London.
Okay.
Yeah, I spent a year and a half there when I started working for Pick Everard.
Okay, so sort of different perspectives. You've got Priya, who is the place where you live, and then Anisha, you spent a bit of time with your company there. So what would you say is the best thing about Leicester?
I say that it's diversity, but it's also mixed in with sort of traditional English traditions. But then you also have this sort of cosmopolitan buzz of a city life. So it's really sort of just creates a balance, and sort of gets the best of every aspect of life that you might want to.
Yeah, I think coming from London, I found it a bit of a culture shock. I remember, this is going to sound really, like, my colleagues are going to really make fun of me about this, but I remember Googling before I came, just left to have Uber, and I was like, oh, I'm such a Londoner, like, I can't believe I've just Googled that. But yeah, no, once I was there, like, what really got me, so that one thing I'd say is the warmth of everyone. Like, I can't believe how friendly everyone is. It freaked me out when I first got there, because I was just like, why is everyone saying good morning and good evening and good afternoon? It's just really strange. I come at a train station, why are you talking to me? And then I got really into the swing of it, and it's actually such a nice way to be. It's so lovely to be that just polite to people. It's not overly friendly or anything like that. It's just polite. It's something we don't have in London. So I remember when I first came back, I was getting off the tube, and I was getting off, going to the ticket, the barriers, and there was the train guard or whatever, the station guard standing there. And I said good morning to him, and he just ignored me, and he just carried on looking straight. And I thought, God, he's so rude. And then I realised a few seconds later, I've just spoken to this guy. Like, why have I just said good morning to him? We don't do that in London. It's so alien. I think he thought I was really strange. And that was like the first thing I thought, oh God, I've really like assimilated to life in Leicester. But it is actually, I think, for me, one of the biggest things I noticed when I was there, so how nice everyone is.
Yeah, it's quite funny, because that's the common sort of cliche, isn't it? That in London you go on the tube, no one ever speaks, and then you go sort of further north in the country, and you know, people say
that. Friends with everyone.
Well, yeah, that it's kind of friendlier. That's the kind of cliche which is said. But then, you know, it's funny that, you know, you've kind of got the story there to back that up in a sense. And I suppose cliches have to come from somewhere. So sounds, not spent too much time in the city there myself, but sounds good. Mainly been in and out to watch sports events, but maybe next time we'll spend a bit of time in the city. Hopefully when as early as possible, when we can travel to places again.
Yes.
And then just finally on the quick fire round, what inspires you? And that could be a book, a person, a quote.
I mean, I don't have anything sort of in specific. I sort of just get inspired mainly like on a daily basis. I read a lot of articles, posts, etc., social media, and you just see people that inspire you in different ways. But I would, however, say that one person that has is my father. I mean, without him, you know, I wouldn't have been able to see what hard work and determination really sort of flowers. And that's where I am today. And he's always sort of encouraged me to do more, achieve any goals and ambitions that I've had, and has shown that it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, you can do whatever you want to do in life. And I think that's been really sort of inspirational and key in my life so far.
I think for me, it's just whenever I see people who are achieving anything that I struggle with, or I want to emulate in the future. So I think I just draw it from everywhere, really. I think also, like Priya, watching my parents work so hard day in, day out makes me feel like pushing myself in every arena as well, because I just think if they can work the way they do, why can't I? And they've always, like Priya said, with her dad, they've always encouraged me to do whatever I want, whether it was moving to Leicester for a year and a half to get my foot in the door and, you know, work my way up and whatnot, to even pursuing a master's after my undergrad and things like that. They've never stopped us from doing anything they want, and I think that's just seeing them as an example, really.
Oh, that's great. And always nice to give your parents a shout out as well, so make sure they listen. Just really nice sort of heartfelt tribute to their work and how it inspires you. So a nice one to end on there. So thank you once again. If you would like to follow Nisha's and Priya's journey, follow at Brown Girls Empowering on Instagram for tips about working in the built environment and more in general, as you've heard today. And if you'd like to follow in Nisha's footsteps and study with us, visit ucem.ac.uk/study with UCEM to take a look at our programmes. Thanks for listening.